Welcome to Trax Cultures. I'm Mike Piccinato, your host. This podcast unravels the intricacies of transitions across cultures. For those feeling the pull of change or supporting loved ones through it, this podcast is for you. We understand the uncertainty and excitement that come with such transitions, and together we'll explore how to adapt while maintaining community and belonging. Throughout our episodes, we'll draw on insights from the Cross-Cultural Transition Handbook by Dr. Stephen W. Jones. Whether you're moving to a new place or supporting someone who is, this podcast offers encouragement and connection. Enjoy the conversations as we navigate the challenges and joys of cross-cultural transitions together. Welcome to Season 1, Episode 24. This episode was recorded August 23rd, 2024. And that means that we're closing the gap between recording and releasing with the story of the Jones and their cross-cultural transition. In this episode, we're talking about what it means to be transitioning back home. My wife, Alyssa, joins me as we talk with the Jones about their vacation time home. And in the episode that will follow this in 2 weeks, we're talking about the Piccinato's upcoming home assignment and how we were processing that almost a year ago. I hope you enjoy the episode. It has been a long time since the four of us have had the chance to sit together in the studio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I wish that there were happy reasons for us to sit in here and say, well, let's sit down and report about how amazing everything is going. And really, I think overall in the cultural transition process, things are going very well. Mm-hmm. The reason we're sitting down today, though, is because we want to talk about the last chapter in the book, the chapter that kind of goes about, well, maybe not the last chapter, the next to last chapter.
Depends on the edition.
Depends on the edition. The idea of coming home or welcoming back. And what we really want to talk about is the transition back from your intercultural journey back into your passport country or into your home country, whatever that means. And part of that is precipitated by the fact that Alyssa and I are getting ready to return back to the U.S. for a year of home assignment. Mm-hmm. And another part of that is because the Jones have recently been back, not for a long period of time, but for shorter periods of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe first I'll just say who's here in the room. And it's me, Mike Piccinato, and
Alyssa Piccinato.
Stephen Jones.
Jenny Jones.
Great. So I'm going to turn it over to Stephen a little bit at the beginning and say, Dr. Stephen W. Jones, could you please explain the idea of transitioning back and what some of the initial challenges for that often are?
Yeah, there's a few different layers of it. So there's the cross-cultural transition process, which is the same idea as when you move internationally, right? So dealing with endings and the neutral zone and new beginnings and the threat of continuity. So that's all at play. And then there's also reentry, which is a process that's very similar to culture shock, but headed in the other direction. And then there's reintegration, which is a longer process of becoming part of your home culture again, which plays out differently when you're there for a limited time, right? So you guys are going for a year, and so you won't be doing the same kind of reintegration work you would be doing if you were going back long term, like if you were going to move there. But the reentry piece is also linked with what we call reverse culture shock. And maybe just to kind of play with those two pieces of it, reentry, I think a lot of times we just talk about that all as being one thing, reentry and reverse culture shock. But I think reentry initially, you know, there's certain things that you notice right away that are different from what you remember. And those can be similar to when we talk about moving internationally or moving across cultures. You have those culturally stressful incidents. And that just feels a little different when those are happening back in a place that is home, maybe with quotes around it. So if reentry is kind of that initial coming back in, dealing with that initial like wave of things that are like, oh, wow, then the reverse culture shock is then that process of actually walking through culture shock. Usually many people have an emotional high when they get there. That's often followed by this sense of loss and sense of not quite fitting and many of the things that go with culture shock. And really that same idea of cumulative disorientation. Many times people find that reentry and reverse culture shock are more intense than culture shock was the first time. And one of the reasons for that, or really the primary reason, I guess, is that when you're going to a new place, there's often, this isn't true for everybody, but for many people, there's this thought of, well, I could go back to where I'm from. So no matter how bad it is here, I can always go back home. But when you're in the place that is, you know, quote unquote home, and things don't fit, and you don't feel like you fit, and you are facing this cumulative disorientation, where do you go back to make it better? And I mean, in the short run, you know, if you're there for a year, you could say, well, I can just go back to Berlin and that feels more like home, right, for you guys. And that might be true. But there is still this, I think, deeper thing happening of like, okay, in the place that I'm supposed to feel at home, I feel disoriented. And that can be deeply disturbing, even for somebody on a short-term reassignment.
So I think there are probably differences in how different people will take this. For some, their intercultural journey is done. And they're going back and reintegrating into what perhaps long-term life will be.
Right. Yeah. And that becomes this really interesting process. There was a great article a while ago called A Chameleon with a Complex. And it was dealing with this idea that when you come back from global service learning, that you want to figure out how to integrate the learning that you've done and the ways that you've grown and changed into life back home. But when you get there, you find that the growth that you've done doesn't fit the boxes people have for you. Also, something else that's happening at the same time is that the people that you knew before don't fit the boxes you have for them either, right? And so there are a few layers of disconnect there.
One of the things we often talk about is this cultural transition graph with a valley or the canyon or the U shape.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or sometimes a W shape.
Does that map for those who are going back for a short, like a 1 year home assignment as well?
Yeah, I think so. I've definitely observed it in people coming back for longer times, people who are coming back indefinitely. I think one of the big problems with people coming back is often they hit that emotional high of being back and assume that they're not going to face reentry or reverse culture shock. And so they set up patterns that are not sustainable once they do hit it. That's something I've observed a lot. I think the one risk for people on short-term reassignment for like being back for a year is that I've seen people get away with not really experiencing culture shock, but I don't think it's been healthy. And that's where at both of the colleges that I taught at, we had either missionaries in residence or international workers in residence, right? People whose primary vocation was outside of the U.S. And then they would come to the campus often for a year. And there's a tendency of organizations to keep people super busy. And then there's also a tendency for people to keep themselves super busy. Mm. When you combine those two things, it is possible to go through that whole year and never really experience reentry. I would not look at that as a particularly positive thing.
I think one thing that could be a challenge is that our terms here are 4 to 5 years long, mm-hmm. with a 1 year period of transition back in the US. And so the patterns that you're used to, how long will I be in culture shock? How long will I have for reentry, are based on V or W being stretched over a longer period of time. And it all gets compressed.
Yeah, in some ways, it's actually really similar to what we see with our longer term interns, mm-hmm. right? So by, you know, the months 4 through 6, we should see it getting pretty tough. And then by the end of the 6th month, it should be starting to kind of look up. And then definitely by month 9, it should be really, you should be hitting your stride and then be getting ready to leave.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of funny that January will be about month 4, which is also a month that tends to hit me a little harder because it's so cold and it's darker. Mm-hmm. So good for me to know that in advance.
Kind of the double whammy. Yeah.
Jenny and Stephen, you were recently back in the U.S., not on a long-term assignment. Stephen, you were back for visiting several churches, you had a whirlwind tour speaking and meeting a lot of people. And Jenny, you were back for some vacation time. Mm-hmm. What were some things that stood out for you as you re-engaged in the U.S. after being gone for several years?
So I made a list.
One thing I'll say first before you read your list is something that I had in mind, because my youngest and I were only there for about 10 days. And it was fascinating to think of that period of 10 days is the same amount of time that people are here from a visiting team. And just thinking like, well, you know, they do a lot of things, both free time and in learning time. But it was fascinating to think of, it is a very short time to feel like you're engaging deeper culture. So I feel like there was a lot of shallow things that I think, I mean, I did a little bit of processing before time. I'm just trying to working through my expectations of what those days would feel like. But I think, yeah, I think all of that to say, it was interesting to remind myself that it was a short period of time. But at the same time, I had to work really hard to be like, no, it's meaningful. It's not to rush through the days before they were even here. But yeah, so I think I was recognizing too that I would only start to see some of the things that may be deeper.
And that's hard when you're re-engaging with family and it is for such a short period of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I made a list of things that stood out to me as being different. So it was, I think, 3 days or so short of 1,000 that I'd been gone. And Jenny, I think it was almost 3 years since you had been back in the US that you went back.
Yeah. I mean, we were there over our anniversary, our land date. So I was there when it would have been 3 years of living mm-hmm. here.
And so I thought it would be interesting to just make a list of things that stood out to me as being different. So here is a partial list. Noise, noisy crowds, loud equipment, radio programs on in the background, loud conversations, loud road noise. Also other places I have so loud and loud and so loud and loud. It was just like everything is so loud. Thunderstorms in the horizon, being able to see thunderstorms a long way off. I didn't realize I'd missed that. Mm. Rain and heavy rain on the windshield, something I hadn't experienced for a few years. People going so fast over the speed limit and that seeming to be normal. Disposable everything, disposable serviceware at the hotel was really shocking. Just throwing things away all the time. Not being able to recycle things, not having the option. How good the infrastructure was for cars and how not good it was for almost anything else. I found it interesting, we live in a really multi-ethnic, multinational city, but I was struck by the multi-ethnic, multiracial, multilingual context in the US. I think maybe because it's different people groups than we experience here. The drinks were so sweet, even cranberry juice. I was like, what the heck? I had to cut it with water by half because it was so sweet. Mm. Disconnection from nature was so intense. Like my hotel window, I could only open 4 centimeters. And I was like, what is this? Like we live with our windows open all the time. And yeah, not being able to connect with nature. And along the same lines, I couldn't turn the AC off in my hotel room. And I was like, so it was just this 24/7. I was just like, what even is this? We don't have an air conditioner. We don't use a fan most of the year. So much space, so big. Everything was so big, so big. What's interesting is we just went to Prague for a few days and came back, and coming back here, we were like, wow, everything's so big. It's so spread out. But then I remember feeling even more that way going back to the States. Spicy food and salsa was definitely a plus. And then it goes on. I don't know. I probably have another 30 or 40 things, but
I think some of those things I felt, but more localized. Every time we got into a vehicle, the AC was blasting. So I felt like I was constantly cold because people's houses tended to be colder. And then their cars were also colder. And because I was a guest, I was sitting in the front seat. So I got the full blast all the time. So I was like, why are we so much cold? What's happening? And in our hotel room that William and I stayed in, I went in and I'm like, it's freezing. And I turned down the AC, which feels like never something that I did before. So that was definitely, yeah, I felt that there was yeah, just the need that we don't have here or the lack of being able to fill it with cold space. It's more like, can we create breeze so that we're cooler? The stores, I feel like the stores grew by 20%.
The prices.
They're so large all the time, it feels like. And which is, again, just very different from most grocery stores that I go to are not half as big as the ones I engaged with while I was there. definitely the space. We were in Omaha, and even through town, I like was amazed at how fast we went from one end of the city to another. And it's like either my memory of being like, oh my gosh, that's so like, it's so far. But then, yeah, I don't know if that's car versus public transit and going through things or a couple of things at play there, but that felt dramatically different to me. And Berlin is much of a larger city, but space-wise, I don't know, mileage-wise across the city.
It is bigger. I don't remember if it's like 2.5 times as big as Omaha or something.
Being Berlin.
Berlin's bigger, yeah.
Well, in Berlin, the streets were started about 800 years ago, way before the need for how to get a car across town. So it's not that fast to get across town, even if it's the same distance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Some of those, like, again, like what Steven said, just that feeling of things were made for cars or were changed for cars more in that way.
What I think is interesting about your guys' lists are most of them are the environmental things, the physical things, the things that you're interacting with. And I'm sure that there's probably other things on lists or in thoughts about just the way people respond to things that would be different.
I talked to so many strangers.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was so many people like engaged conversation with me. And that felt so like, I was like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, I have lots of eye contact, door holding, feels almost aggressive.
I remember going shopping and how people wouldn't leave me alone, or going to a restaurant and some of those things, the service orientation that's mm-hmm. different than it is here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Didn't we have a foreign exchange student that loved being spoiled?
What I'm remembering is one of them that said she couldn't believe how big the portions were at restaurants.
Oh, I was so full. I did. I like felt like I really tried not to eat. I felt like we were constantly eating.
Something else that really stood out to me having been here was just how easy it was to interact with people. Like, I didn't have to think about it. Like, I don't remember being particularly chatty with cashiers before I came here. But when I went back, I was just like, yeah, how's the weather? You know, because like I could without thinking. It was just so easy to interact. So that was interesting, like trying to think, okay, like, is that a change in me or is that how I was before? I don't remember.
You've been kind of disconnected from that ease of communication for long enough.
Yeah. And it's definitely becoming easier, but the patterns are different here. And so like, yeah, I don't know. It was weird to kind of slide back into something I don't remember being true of me.
Mm.
I think I felt the difference of having more of a freedom of that not thinking. And so I felt more okay doing things than I did before, like going into situations where I felt uncomfortable.
You were just calling banks for fun.
I was like, I hate talking on the phone. I hate like going to government buildings and asking questions. And then I was like realizing like, oh my gosh, they can understand me. I can put things in the right word order and we can figure it out. Even if I don't have the exact word, we can figure this out together because we're speaking the same language. Like that was definitely, yeah, that was definitely noticeable.
Alyssa, what are some of the things as we get ready to go back for a year that you are looking forward to? Or what are some of the things that you're maybe nervous about?
I think the things I'm most looking forward to and the most concerned about are the same thing. And that would be family and friends, because I'm really looking forward to being able to reconnect, of course, with our daughter and also with more family that is in Minnesota, and then including the change of my parents having moved to another state in the last couple of months. That's going to be a whole new thing to try to navigate. I've never lived in a different state from them except for being here in Germany while they were in Minnesota. Yeah, the idea of how have other people changed and how have I changed and how those categories don't always line up is one of my big question marks.
Stephen and Jenny, when you were just back and interacting in some ways with some, you spent a lot of time with family, Jenny, and mm-hmm. Stephen, you saw family when you were back as well. How did that work for you after being gone for 3 years or 1,000 days, interacting with family again, face to face for the first time?
I think there are parts of it that felt very normal. I felt the familiarity of family dynamics. So there was an element that didn't feel like it changed at all. But at the same time, I felt the shift in the current situations, like the external dynamics that affected my family. Things like, you know, pastor changes or in the local church or kids getting older, like so much driving in my family for my nieces and nephews that wasn't before. So there was this, all of a sudden there was so much freedom that was happening and my kids were going with them. And I'm like, wait, I know you're driving, but do I feel okay letting my, you know, 15-year-old drive with or ride with his, you know, 17-year-old cousin? I was like, whoa, wait, I haven't had to think about this because, you know, professionals do that here.
It's like a time hop.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and there's so many. But there was this, like, that dynamic of just the shift in ages and stages that felt continually new. And everybody else, it was like, well, no, this is normal. This is the way that life happens here. And I'm like, but it's not. It's so weird. Mm-hmm.
That reminds me of something that you had written, Mike, about the displaced life that we live and how you see yourself grow older daily in the mirror, but you see family and friends grow older in these chunks of time.
Yeah, I think video calls can certainly change that from the way international work used to happen. But a lot of times in the video call, you're just seeing those short interactions with people. And when you see them over time, you notice, oh, they're walking different than they used to, or you just see different things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I definitely felt that. Like, I knew everyone, like I was aware that there were driver's licenses being received. Like, it's like, you know, those things. But then to see it in play, I think something that was interesting too is there are certain things that my nieces and nephews are engaging with that felt very familiar to my growing up years, and that's not a way that I can relate to my kids because of the change of their education and their growing up experiences. Yeah, yeah.
Well, because you kind of went home.
Mm-hmm.
Back to where you grew up.
Yeah, yeah. So,
and
like,
so your nieces and nephews are growing up in.
In the same similar environment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, there are changes. Like the school it went through renovations. It's different, but it's also the same because it's still small town Nebraska. Yeah. Like still, that dynamic and still not a big school. But yeah, it was really interesting to process seeing those similar things. And I think even along that line of being I remember when family would visit who were a part of the ranching environment growing up and then moved away, and then realizing that me and my family are that family now, and feeling like, oh, this is weird. Mm. Like, I know what's happening. I know the daily function of the ranch. I know the daily activities, but I am now the like next level outsider. And my kids are the one being like, well, you know, they play when they come to the ranch, kind of. I mean, yeah, or like, you know, they're not working, they're more playing in the environment. Then I think that's probably how I viewed it growing up. I'm like, oh, they're riding the four-wheeler to have fun, not to help. Or they're riding horses to have fun and not help, which it's just a different dynamic of processing. But then all of a sudden, that's where we were. And that was an interesting realization and experience.
That's interesting. I know how much we often felt lost as every other parent in the school knew the things that they needed to buy for their kids or knew how the school system would work. And we here in Germany often feel like we're operating from a lack of understanding just because that's not the system we grew up in.
Like trying to catch up.
Yeah. And it would be weird going back and seeing all the things and having your kids feel lost or disconnected from that system, and what feels normal to you is not normal for your kids.
Yep. It's very true.
When I was back in the States, it was a little bit less than 20 days, I think. And in that time I stayed at 9 different places. I stopped in 25 different places. I participated in 16 events and I had 87 personal connections. And so I don't think I was with hardly anybody long enough to feel the changes. There were some that I noticed. Like, I definitely noticed people who are my age looking older than I expected them to, which was surprising. Other than that, there were things that I felt, things that like, if I was with people longer, I would be able to, like, I know what direction I would start looking for changes, but I wasn't with anybody long enough. And I think that's one of the risks of when you're back for a really busy time, that it's not, that you're not really meeting yourself or the people that you left behind that you're visiting again.
While we have been here the last 5 years, 6 years, both of our parents have moved. So our interaction with our parents will also be different because we won't be going to a familiar place. Mm-hmm. In my case, my parents had moved since I was in school. I mean, they moved to Minnesota, and then now recently they've moved maybe another hour and a half away from the city. So they're further away. But when I go to visit them, there will be no feeling of going back to a familiar place. Mm-hmm. And now Alyssa's parents have moved from the home that she moved into at the end of high school with them. And now they've moved to a different part of the country. They've moved to Florida. And so that will also be a very strange feeling. Even how do you interact with the first couple of days when you're back in town? When Alyssa,
the script suddenly changed.
Completely.
Who do we contact about picking us up at the airport changed.
Alyssa's family was always kind of the decompression house. You know, we would land mm-hmm. there and spend a couple of days there with them. What about, Stephen, you, like you said, you saw a lot of people very quickly. Some of those were people that were friends from your time back in Minnesota. Did you, even though you maybe
didn't... Nebraska.
And Nebraska, yeah. Thank you. Even though you didn't notice maybe a lot of those changes, were there hiccups in the way you interacted with people, or did you feel like you were able to kind of flow right back into conversations? Does that make sense?
I think the hiccup was... And Jenny kind of alluded to this, and I think you guys are facing it too, is it feels like there are so many thousands of choices that you have to make. And like, sometimes it comes down to really logistical considerations. And the ways that I wanted to spend time with people, I often wasn't able to. And I think also, yeah, like I had this anticipation. I remember Jenny having the same thing in the week or two before she left. Of feeling like, I just feel like I'm going to let everybody down. Like, there's no way to spend meaningful time with as many people as I feel like I want to. And every, you know, it definitely is one of those situations where it felt like every yes is a no. So I think that's where the intensity was for me. I think actually having conversations with people, the hard disconnects are that nearly everybody that I interact with doesn't really have a context for what we're doing here. Either they don't understand the location, or they don't understand our work, or they don't understand our team environment. There's so many things that not understanding any one of those facets makes it difficult to have a full conversation, right? And at the same time, they also have things that I mostly understand, but there are also areas that I don't always know right away that I haven't understood, where something has changed. I suspect that if I had longer with people, more of that would become obvious, but I definitely felt it in the attempt to even to choose what to share or how much to share. I think I left the time feeling like I had been seen a lot, but never as fully as I would have liked to have been. And I think in the same way, I saw a lot of people, but never as fully as I would have liked to have.
Thank you for joining us today on Trax Cultures. If you enjoyed our conversation and want to dive deeper, we invite you to join our community on Discord. It's a space for sharing experiences, asking questions, and connecting with others who are navigating similar journeys. See the link in our show notes to become part of our growing community. Your support means the world to us. And if you'd like to help us continue our work as a creative community looking for the meeting place of faith, art, and culture, consider becoming a patron. Visit patreon.com/envisionberlin to find out how you can contribute. Until next time, keep embracing change and embodying transformative hope for humanity.
This podcast was produced by Envision Berlin in our studios located in Berlin, Germany. If you'd like to send us a note, feel free to send your email to podcast@envisionberlin.com. Thanks for listening.